Shalom to all. Today's office is Shalom Megillah Daf Lamed. We're starting about the fifth line with the words Amar Rabbi Yochanan. And today's office sponsor Leilu Nishmas Mars Mirim Sarah Bas Biyakov Moshe Hernish Shama should have an Aliyah. So a Mishnah quoted a mayor that one is not allowed to sell it if it's owned by the Rabbim, the public. It's not allowed to be sold to a Yachid, to an individual, because that lowers its Kedusha. And the Chum told him if that's so, then even from a large city to a small one, because that also lowers its Kedusha. Now it seems like we're talking about a Shol. However, Amar Rabbi Yochanan says, Les Kain, that can't be, because Mayan Kaiman, we're referring to, meaning who would the Mishnah be like? Imkra Mayor, if you want to say it's really Sheets Rav Meir. The problem with that is, we're about to see in the upcoming Mishnah in a few lines, Rav Meir himself had said, Ein Mechon Beis HaKnesses El Al Tanai, that one's not allowed to sell a shul, except for with a stipulation that if he wants to buy back, he could do so at any point in time, which means for all intents and purposes, according to Rav Meir, a shul is never allowed to be sold indefinitely. But the previous Mishnah seems to say that it, whatever that it is allowed to be sold indefinitely without any stipulations. And Imkra Rabbanon, if you want to say that the Mishnah is Rabbanon, the problem with that is, they say in the upcoming Mishnah, Mechon Asoy Memkar Oilam Chotz Mer Badvarim, that it's allowed to be sold a memkar oilam, a complete 100% sale, except for four things. But now, from the previous daf, they seem to say that it's not allowed to be sold in certain situations. Not one of these four that are going to be mentioned in the upcoming Mishnah. So, what's the Mishnah talking about? The answer is Ruchia says B'shem Rechanan Tifter B'Sefer Torah. We can explain that our Mishnah is actually talking about a Sefer Torah. Namely, if Meir says you're not allowed to sell a Sefer Torah owned by the public to an individual because that lowers its kedusha, and the Chum respond to him, that means that you shouldn't be allowed to sell a Sefer Torah from a large city to a small one because that also lowers its kedusha. And the Mishnah is not actually talking about a shul. So now moving on to Halacha Gimel, here we're going to be talking about a shul. The Mishnah tells us, Ein Mechon Beis HaKnesses Ela Al Tanai, a shul is only allowed to be sold with a stipulation that Ein Masai Sheyirtzu Yachziru, that whenever they want, they can get it back. The Rav Meir, that's Rav Meir's opinion, was Racham and Racham say, Mechon Beis HaKnesses Ela Al Tanai, a shul is allowed to be sold indefinitely with no stipulations, Chutz Mer Badvarim, except for four things, Lemerchatz for a bathhouse, Ula Bursaki, to be used as a tannery for tanning hides, Ula Tvila, for immersion, Ula Beis HaMayim, or for Beis HaMayim, which is either a bathroom or a laundromat. That's because these are improper uses of something that used to be a shul. Whereas Rabbi Yehuda Amar, he says, all they do is just sell the shul to be a courtyard, and the person who buys it, he can do whatever he wants with it. And the item Rabbi Yehuda also said, if a shul was destroyed, it fell into disrepair and not used, one is still not allowed to use this building, this area, to give a hesped in, and that's because of Agmas Nefesh. We're going to see this lashon of Agmas Nefesh at the end of the Mishnah. We'll explain what that means, but that would be a reason why we're not allowed to be maspid, we're not allowed to give eulogies inside this shul that has fallen into disrepair. And also, no making ropes inside of it. Now, it's not specifically ropes. It means it's not really allowed to be used for any sort of malacha. The only reason why ropes are mentioned is because making ropes requires a very large space, which an unused shul would be great for. Also, no spreading out traps in it. Very often, when you had abandoned buildings, wild animals would live in there, and it'd be a great thing to trap the wild animals, so no spreading out traps there. And no putting fruit on the roof to dry out. And no turning it into a shortcut. If it has two different doors, then if you go in one door and out the other, you just save yourself some time, no using it for that. And that's because Shemar the Pasuk says, Vashimaisias Mikdashechem. And what do we see from here? Kedushasan Afkshin Shaymin. Even when they're desolate, they still have their Kedusha, because called Mikdashechem in the Pasuk. So we see that even though it's desolate and it's not used, it still has Kedusha. And lastly, Alubaya Savim, if grasses started growing, basically weeds and wild grasses and whatnot started growing in this abandoned shul, Lo Yitloish. Don't pull them up and uproot them. Why? Because this causes Akmas Nefesh. People are pained and saddened that this is the state that their shul has fallen into. If they leave it in this state of disrepair and don't fix it up at all, they don't even pull out the grasses, that's going to cause them to daven to Hashem to help it be brought back to the original state, or that's going to push them to actually rebuild it on their own. Either which way, no doing small fix-ups in it. Says the Gemara, Hadadat Amar Beis HaKnesses Shel Yachid. This is said in regards to a shul owned by an individual, then when it's destroyed, when it's fallen into disuse, so then they're not allowed to use it for Aspedim. Mashma, that if it was built and in use, then you are allowed to use it for Aspedim. Avol Beis HaKnesses Shel Rabim. But a publicly owned shul, afil banui usur, even if it's built, it's usur to use for such things. Now Rabbi Rabbi tells us that Rabbi Yechonah Mekel and Asiya, Rabbi Yechonah was mezalzal, and he actually would protest against the Nasi, the Shatchan Bigdehan Alavir the Beis Medrasha. They would spread out their clothing on the top, on the roof of the Beis Medrash, to dry out, and that's not a proper use. Now Shmuel Amar, he tells us, Nechon Shaloy Lasusikam Adarya, if a person went into shul without intention to turn it into a shortcut, Mota Asusikam Adarya, he could turn it into a shortcut because he didn't go in for that purpose. Now Tanu Vibraiso, but they can assume about the Medrashos in regards to shuls and about the Medrashim, A Neugen Bayan Kalus Reish, no being lightheaded over there and treating it lightly, Le Eichlin Vele Shaisen Bahen, no eating or drinking in them, Vele Metailin Bahen, no just stam walking around, Vele Shainin Bahen, no sleeping in them, Vele Nechnasim Bahen, Le Bucham Mesa Cham, Le Gishom Mesa Gishamim, no going into the shul during the summer because of the sun, you want to cool off, and no going in during the winter because of the rain, you want to be protected. Avel Shainin Vedarshin Bahen, you can learn and darshan in them, that's what a shul and base medrash is for. However, Lamanum Beza on top, Rabbi Shuban Levi Omar, he says, Batek Nisiz, Batek Medrashas, Lachachamul Tal Talmidehem, Shoals and Batim Majashim, they're for Chamim and for the Talmidim, that's where they live, that's where they spend the majority of their time, so it's that way it's considered where they live, so they are allowed to eat and drink and sleep in a Shoal. Reb Chiya and Reb Yasa, Mekablin Begoy Kanishta, when Reb Chiya and Reb Yasa would come into town, they would welcome them in by the Shoal, that's how they would show them Kavod. And Reb Imi Mefkel Sefraya, Reb Imi gave instructions to the Sefraya, which is basically the Cheder Rebbeim, who would teach in the Shoals, in also Bar Noshka Bechain, if a person comes to you, Melach Lech Bay Raisa. Now, literally, this would be translated as dirtied by Torah. Now, obviously, a person is not dirtied by Torah. The opposite, a person becomes cleaned by Torah. So, really, it's referring to a person who's not a full-fledged Talmid Chacham, but he does have some sort of Torah. He has learned somewhat. So, even such a person, when he comes to you, Tahavin Mekabel Lei Ul Chamari Ul Menai, you should welcome him, his donkey, and his kalim into the Beis Medrash, make him feel comfortable. Reb Rechia also looked initially to the Beis Shan. Reb Rechia went to the Beis Knesset of the Beis Shan, and Chamachad Barnosh, he saw there was a fellow there, Meshazig Yadoy Viragloy Mingarna. He was washing and cleaning his hands and feet from the bar, from the well, the cistern that was over there in the shul. So Amar Le Reb Rechia told the fellow, Asir Lach, you're not allowed to do that. Now Lamachar, the next day, Chamsei Hu Govra, Meshazig Yadoy Viragloy Mingarna. This fellow saw Reb Rechia doing the same thing. He was cleaning his hands and feet from his very same cistern. So Amar Le, the fellow told him, Rebbe, Lecha Shariv Li Asir, for you it's Mutter, and for me it's Asir. Amar Le, he told him, in. Yes. So Amar Le, the fellow asked him, Lama, why is that? Amar Le, Reb Rechia told him, Kainam Reb Shimon ben Levi, this is what Reb Shimon ben Levi said, but the Knesset, but the Midrash, it's Lechacham, will tell me Dehem. So I'm allowed to use it. You're not. Now, another discussion. Hain Parvara Ma'om Yavar Begava. What about a Parvara, which is like an anteroom? It's basically the hallway before the Shul. Let's say that had two different entrances, and one could technically use it as a shortcut. Would one be allowed to do that? Or no? Maybe that's under the same category as using the Shul itself as a shortcut, and would be Usser. So the Gemara attempts an answer, Rabavo Avar Parvara. Rabavo would seemingly use this hallway or this anteroom as a shortcut, so we see that it's Mutter. Says the Gemara, not a Raya. Ma'ad Ashari, well, you want to say this is permitted? We can't learn from there, because Rav Zechariah Chasson of Rav Levi, Rav Zechariah the son of Rav Levi said, Safra Hava Imason, the Safra, the Cheder Rebbe that was teaching in that shul, he was a very frightful person. V'in loy hava Rabavo Avar, and Rabavo would not pass by, loy havim fani talaya, he wouldn't let his young charges go, he would keep them there the whole day, and so Rabavo had to frighten this Malamed by walking by, and now the Malamed saw Rabavo, he was afraid not to let the kids go, so he would let them go. But that doesn't mean that a person is allowed to use this hallway that's outside the shul as a shortcut. And then we've got to Lacha Dalet, now going on to discuss the four parashiyos. We know that there's Dalet parashiyos that are read around Purim time, Shkalim, Zachar, Parah, Chaydesh, two before Purim and two after Purim, and now we're going to learn a lot of details about that. Says the Mishnah, Rosh Chodesh Adar Shchalias B'Shabes, if Rosh Chodesh Adar falls out on Shabbos, Karen Parashas Shkalim, so we read Parashas Shkalim that Shabbos. Now Chalias B'Secha Shabbos, if Rosh Chodesh Adar falls out in the middle of the week, Magdimin L'Sha'avar, we precede to the Shabbos beforehand, meaning the Shabbos before Rosh Chodesh Adar, that's when we're going to read Parashas Shkalim, and Mafsikin L'Shabbos Acheres, we're going to break the next Shabbos, meaning the Shabbos right after Rosh Chodesh, that's not going to have any special Parsha, and it's only the next one, Dahainu, the Shabbos before Purim, that's when Zachar is going to be read. Says the Gemara, Blevi tells Rav Shem, Rav Shem and Lakesh, Tavakash Baruch Hu, Shehaman HaRasha also lishkal kaspel Yisrael. Hashem, so to speak, saw that Haman HaRasha was going to end up being shekel his money for the Yidden. As we know from the Purim story, Haman had told Achashverosh that I'll give you 10,000 shekel kesef to buy the Yidden off of you and I can do whatever I want with them. So Amar Hashem said, Motav shiktem kaspam shalbanai lakaspa shalazi HaRasha, is better that the money of my children is preceded before the money of that Rasha. Vikach, therefore, Magdimin v'karim Parshas Shkalim, we precede and read Parshas Shkalim before Purim, and Parshas Shkalim talks all about the Machsa Shekel, which is the half shekel that every male of a certain age of Klal Yisrael donated to be used for the purchase of Karbon HaSibur. Now, what about the following? Chaliyos be'erev Shabbos b'makayrin. Let's say Rosh Chodesh falls out on Erev Shabbos on Friday. So which Shabbos is Parshas Shkalim read? The very next day, which is right after Rosh Chodesh, or almost a full week beforehand? So Zayir Amar, he says, Karin Losha Avar. Still, it's read the week beforehand, basically 6 days before Rosh Chodesh. Rosh Avila Kotzer Avo B'Shem B'Yechnon, the Karin Laba, it's read the next Shabbos, meaning Rosh Chodesh is on Friday, so it's read right afterwards that Shabbos. Now, when Rabbi Ila said that, Bahava Rabbi Zayir Mestakelbe, Rabbi Zayir was looking at him, like, what are you saying? So Amar Le, Rabbi Ila told him, Mat Mestakelbe, why are you looking at me like that? Ana Amar Min Shmuel, I said from Shmuel, I quote Rabbi Avo, said B'Shem B'Yechnon, Va'at Amar Min Deya, and you just said based off of your own Shita, Va'at Mestakelbe, and you're looking at me? Says the Gemara, Masnisim Mesayel Adain, Masnisim Mesayel Adain. We have a brass that's arrived for both Rabbi Zayir and another brass that's arrived for Rabbi Ila. Masnisim Mesayel Rabbi Zayir, we have a brass that's arrived for Rabbi Zayir. It says as follows, Ezuhi Shabbos or Shaina, what's the first week? Kol Shachar Rosh Chodesh Shal Adar, Lias Besaycha, Afilo Be'erev Shabbos. The week that Rosh Chodesh falls out in, even if it falls out Erev Shabbos, that is considered the Shabbos Rishaina, meaning we're always going to read it the Shabbos before Rosh Chodesh, even though Rosh Chodesh falls out on Erev Shabbos. Now, Tani Shmuel Mesayel Rabbi Ila, Shmuel taught a brass that's arrived for Rabbi Ila, and the following Gemara is Machlekes how to read. Because according to some Mepharshim, the upcoming Braisa is the Raya for Rav Ila. However, it's very difficult to see how exactly it is a Raya, so therefore other Mepharshim explain that we don't actually have the Braisa that Shmuel quoted, which is a Raya for Rav Ila, but we at least know that Shmuel had said a Braisa, which is a Raya for Rav Ila. So we're going to go with that Parish. And we say the Gemara is a different discussion. Ezui Shabbos HaShnia, what's the second Shabbos, which we're going to read Zachar on? Kol Shechal Perm Leis B'Seicha V'Afilu Erev Shabbos. It's the one that Perm falls out that week, even if Perm falls out on Erev Shabbos. So now once we're discussing Perm and Erev Shabbos, the Gemara tells us Rav Nachman Bar Yaakov, but he asks as follows, Haga Atzmacha, think about it for yourself, Shechal Chamisha Asoliyas B'Shabbos, what happens when the 15th falls out on Shabbos? Meaning, when Purim, which for the majority of the world is on the 14th, when that falls out on Erev Shabbos, that means the 15th, which is Purim for the walled cities, that's on Shabbos. And the question is, Laman Alpha, Laman Alpha on top, Lookers from Megillus Esther, Einat Yachol. You can't read Megillus Esther on the 15th on Shabbos, She'ein Karm Kisvei HaKodesh, Elamin HaMincha LeMailon, because we're not allowed to read Kisvei HaKodesh, except from Mincha and onwards. That's because Yerushalmi holds that if we read Kisvei HaKodesh in public, that's going to end up being Mivatal, the Jerusha that everybody used to come for. Therefore, we can't read the Megillah on the 15th. So the question is, V'yikru Zachar, why not read Parsha Zachar? If we're not reading the Megillah, let's read Zachar then. So Amalei told him, no, Kain Omer Rav, this is what Rav says. The Pasuk of the Megillah tells us, V'ayom ha'ele nizkarim v'na'asim. What do we learn from here? Shete azkarasan koidem asiyasan. That's kara. The mentioning of destroying Amalek comes before the actual destruction of Amalek. So Zachar is just the remembrance of Mechias Amalek. Whereas reading the Megillah, that's the actual asiyah. That's the doing, the destruction of Amalek. So we can't read Zachar on Shabbos if we read the Megillah beforehand. Now, similar discussion of our Rav Papi Bai, he asks as follows, Hagatzmacha, think about it for yourself, Shechal Arba Asar Lias B'Shabbos. Let's say the 14th falls out on Shabbos. So over here, shouldn't be an issue if the Mukafin, the 15thers, would read Zachar on Shabbos. That's because they're going to end up reading the Megillah on Sunday. So Zachar could be read on Shabbos. And Arisha Kadmaz Karasal Yasiyasun. Here we have the Askara before the Asiyah. Somebody responded to him, V'loi Kvar Tosfos, wasn't this already pushed away? We already had this in the first parak, the less Efshra, that it's not possible. The 14th simply can't fall out on Shabbos. And Vim Efshra, even if theoretically it was possible, we still have a problem because Ichor Hula Yarois is considered too late for that Yarois, meaning you're right. If we're just going to be looking at the walled cities, it technically would be okay to read Zachar on Shabbos when it's the 14th, because they're going to be reading the Megillah the next day on Sunday when it's the 15th. But still the problem is, when we look at the Ayaris themselves, the regular cities, they're going to have read Megillah already the day before on Erev Shabbos, and that means for them it's going to be out of order because Zachar is being read on Shabbos, which is going to be the day after they read the Megillah. So there's a problem as well. That's why it wouldn't be able to be done. We're going to stop for the day and pick up tomorrow with Halacha. Hey, continue to discuss the Dalet Parshiyos, but for now, everyone should have a wonderful day.